Because there was the heart tongue right there down the second row in the middle. See it? Right there. Isn't that like your friend?
Yeah, yeah. It was like, yeah. But yeah, I would like make a little heart. Yeah, that's so interesting.
There it is. You can go back to the penis now. Thank
and
you.
And that's an easy surgery. Just a little snip, snip, right? Yeah. Go back to the penis pics, please.
Welcome to Dr. Drew After Dark. Please be advised that Dr. Drew After Dark may contain sexually oriented content and be unsuitable for young children.
Welcome, everybody, to Dr. Drew After Dark. We appreciate you being here and sending those emails to drdrewafterdark@gmail.com. And, of course, the voice messages, they never get old, 818-253-1693. Today, my guest is Jade Catapreta.
Catapreta.
Catapreta, the hotties on Hulu is where you can see her, which is... a mix between Fuckboy Island and the Hot Wings show.
Yeah, why not?
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's close.
Hot Wings and Fuckboy Island? I don't know.
Yeah. Something like that's a dating, hybrid dating cooking competition, and we feed them spicy stuff. So same shit, different day.
Whose idea was that?
Oh, man. Multiple people had one idea, and then we had to put them all together just to get the one show made.
Fantastic. So it's on Hulu. You can also see Jaded, a YouTube special, and to go to her website, Jade Catapreta, CattaPreta.com. And I'm assuming you can get the special there too, right?
Love the spelling. Yeah, it's all there.
Yeah, it's all there. It's all there. They give me what I need here.
Yeah, who knew a hyphen would make people so crazy?
And we were talking before the mics heated up that you were Brazilian and you speak Portuguese.
Yeah. And you speak French.
But I can say obrigada.
Oh, that's pretty good. Obrigado. Yeah, obrigado. That's good. It's the R that makes people nuts.
Do I say obrigado to you?
No, obrigada.
Obrigada. Do is like multiple people sometimes?
Yeah, do is like multiple or men, which in Brazil they prefer.
Which was interesting to me because I thought it was just men and they started correcting me when I was saying it to more than one person. I thought, they're sexist.
Every Latin rooted language is like either men or everyone or a tiny A for a woman. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. And because they have Latin languages and French too, so real romance languages, they have male and female everything. And the idea.
And tiny too. Tiny things.
Well, informal and informal tiny and big and all that. But the gender thing was always amusing to me because when you talk about what's going on in this country in terms of all our gender energy, they're like, how could that... There's words that are masculine, they're feminine, they're people.
I don't
are
know how they're going to do that now.
They're not. Yeah. I've had these conversations with them. They're
interesting.
Like, no.
Yeah, well, I wonder what's happening in Brazil with that because they're so open sexually, you know, as far as like gender fluidity and stuff like that. And I don't know
They probably don't make an issue of it. You know, they probably just accept it. It's just whatever, like Thailand or something. It's just, there it is.
And yeah, well, in Thailand, they're just...
It's on.
There's no sensitivity whatsoever. I mean, it's just... Ladyboy is the word they use still.
Whatever you're into, dude.
You know. Yeah, whatever you're into.
So not kids, but whatever you're into. So
yeah, I'm a baby.
Who laughed at that? Nadav, you laughed at that?
Yeah. So you're like, not kids. That's a fun
Before we were also talking a little bit off the air about your comedy now versus your comedy earlier in your career. What's different now?
I finally know what I want to talk about. But whatever I want, which is, you know, not wanting to please people all the time, not doing jokes that I know work all the time, actually talking about things that I want to talk about that are affecting me.
What's affecting you now?
What's affecting me now? Well, a lot of gender stuff affects me because I'm pansexual, but I'm dating a man. So I'm a bit of a lesbian in a you know, cis relationship.
You got to help me because that's not gender stuff. That's sexual identity stuff, right?
Yeah. Sexual identity stuff and how I relate to the world. And the immigrant story, I never even talked about that before.
Oh.
And I'm really, really...
You were 12 when you got here.
12, yeah.
That's a really easy age to be a young female.
Formative age.
Holy shit.
My parents really wanted me to do stand up, so they invested. Thank you so much. My back really hurts, actually. Oh, okay.
Chad's going to be giving massages later.
Yeah, perfect.
But it's, if you want to create a comedian, take a young female and bring her into a new culture at age 12, it's a pretty good recipe for
Brazil to Virginia was just such a culture shock.
Perfect.
You know, it was such a conservative town, too.
How did that happen?
My dad was one of the pioneers of holography. He made holograms in the 80s.
Wow.
When it was still an art form, you know, where you would make a model of something, shoot it on a table, project it onto glass, print it.
Interesting.
And
is he still involved with that?
No, because it kind of died in the early 90s because everything is made by a computer now. Everything can be printed through a computer.
The computer does the holograph now.
Yeah, so it was an artistic form. And then he found this guy to partner up with in Charlottesville, Virginia. There's only a few laser tables that existed at that time, these like physical chunky tables where they would shoot. And one of them existed in Charlottesville, Virginia.
Oh my God, you're in Charlottesville.
Yeah, of all the places. Oh. And now I'm finally getting to talk about that experience and how traumatizing it was for me. Because it is a trauma. You don't speak the language, one, which is probably why I do comedy. Language is my weapon.
Yes.
And formulative years, being overly sexual in a place where they didn't really understand sexuality. All that stuff, you know.
I get smushed by other females, like they were judging you and angry with you for being sexual.
Well, I wanted to fit in, you know. I made friends with all the Ashleys, you know, like, wait for me. But and then after a while, I finally found myself like later in high school, and I became friends with these two kind of like freaky girls who were like angel wings to school, pink hair, you know.
Have you met Christina yet?
No, we know each other from a long time ago, but we haven't. Yeah. Where did she grow up? Was it Was it a place like that?
In the Valley. In L.A.
The Valley. You know,
in L.A.?
Yeah, but she had
818?
It was literally 818. Yeah. Deep Eastern European roots. Deep. And crazy mom and an asshole dad.
Yeah, well, that's how we all grow up in the same way.
Another recipe for comedy. It's
yes,
perfect.
Right? Yeah, the asshole dad thing is like, and it's funny because now they're older, you know, and they're completely different people.
But
so
look
it's hard
at Christina's set. You see the shit she's into. It looks like the set for What We Do in the Shadows or something.
It really does, right? Like a goth kid's bedroom.
That's
doesn't
what it,
it
is,
yeah,
everybody.
That's what it is.
Mission accomplished, gentlemen. Yeah. Well done. So
yeah, mine's a lot more colorful. I'm like, la, la, la. But yeah, it's interesting to look back finally now because it's been really healing for me to talk about this stuff.
Oh, like, I bet.
I bet. Just what people
validating
expected.
Too,
yeah, it is. And people relating to it finally because I'm vulnerable. I'm not just shocking for the purpose of being shocking.
I want to get to the pansexual stuff. So how is that not bisexual?
Okay, so bisexual people technically like men and women.
Yeah.
Right? I don't care. I'm not into men and women. I'm into whatever you've got. We'll make it work.
So pansexual includes... Yeah. Gender spectrum.
Yes.
Non-binary, whatever.
Yeah,
whatever.
Non-binary. Yeah, it includes those people as well. And I think when you say bisexual, it means you're into male and female.
And you're in a cis relationship
with a man.
Male identifying man.
I'm just a regular dude with all the dude parts.
Okay.
Yeah.
And here's one of the things I haven't always wondered, but I've sort of contemplated.
Yeah.
Which is that when you're all over the place, and you're with somebody. Haven't you now declared a major? You know what I mean? Isn't that now you're a cis female?
You know, it's interesting because I think about this a lot. Okay, so I know I was in a relationship before this where he would get really bothered when I would say bisexual because pansexual wasn't really like in my radar yet, and he'd be like, "But you're with me, and you're just saying that to get attention." And I'm like, no, because I literally identify.
That's an insecure comic thing
yeah. That I, you know, don't recommend dating a comic.
Yeah. But it does make me, if I were in a relationship with you and you were announcing that you're into whatever, it would make me worried that you're still making room for that part of your life rather than staying committed to your cis relationship.
I'm committed to my relationship, but there is a little wiggle room that he allows me to still explore within
What if he didn't?
I don't think it would work.
So that's interesting. So you have to be able to.
Yeah, I think honestly, just having the open door policy makes me feel like, okay, this is good for me, you know. I don't really act on it. I'm happy in my relationship. I don't have time, but
I get it.
Yeah.
Doesn't that make you? This is the part I'm trying to nail.
Oh, I like this.
Because I really don't know the answer to this. Yeah. Doesn't that make you a certain thing at least at this moment in temporality?
You know, it's confusing. It's like, do I wear a name tag while I'm dating?
No,
like,
not trying to nail you down. Yeah. I'm just saying it's just confusing to me. Like I'm a married person, but I'm not also an unmarried person because I could leave wiggle room for being unmarried, but I don't.
Unmarried isn't a way that you identify as your characteristics of life. Like for me, like pansexuality, pansexuality is not just like sexual. It's not what I'm into just sexually.
You are educating me.
It's also an outlook on life and how I kind of deal with my life. So like a lot of people, when they go like, it's my gender identity or, you know, it's my sexual identity. it doesn't only have to do with what you want to do sex, like with sex.
Keep going.
I think it's also an outlook. Like for me, I watched Rocky Horror Picture Show way too young, and it like something clicked for me.
Fucked you up. So you're into sex with abdominal cavities and things.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I meant.
Stoma sex.
I'm so excited stoma for my sex. Parents to watch.
Stoma sex.
Is that a thing?
Oh yes, it's a thing. In fact, a friend of mine, a young female, had a misadventure and had to have a colostomy for a brief period of time. And the first thing the nurses start talking about is like, to make sure he doesn't put his penis in here. Just cannot fuck that.
Stop.
Christina had a comedy tour called Fuck My Stoma or something, right?
Fuck My Stoma
comedy. That is
so funny.
Wait, what was that? Yeah. Did you guys see that show where she had like a pussy on the side and they were like, and she was getting like fisted on her side pussy? What was that show?
Oh, that does sound really familiar.
It just came out. Rosa was in it. Really good actress. Anyways. Yeah. Like,
isn't that pansexual?
Yeah,
do you leave room for side pussy? Is that?
I mean, side pussy has to be on the list, right?
It's an outlook on life.
If I met someone and they had a pussy on their side, I'd be interested in seeing
that.
That's
where the wiggle room comes in.
I would
in
like
now.
To see. You're yeah. Like,
so is it?
I'd be
it
like, babe, I met this girl. She has a pussy on her side. Would you be comfortable if I?
No, his thing's gonna be say step
if
aside.
If I touched it,
you like, I want to see this too. I want wiggle room when it comes to.
He's welcome, you know.
Okay.
I think it's all about communication, honestly. God.
Because a million ills have been executed under that phrase, right?
Under the communication.
Yeah,
thing?
If we just communicate, it'll be fine. The thing you have to watch out for, and this is in all seriousness, is that when you have a primary intimacy.
Yeah.
If you bring other things into that intimacy, it tends to diminish.
I'm scared of that.
Yeah.
I'm scared of that.
That's how we are constructed.
That's why it hasn't happened.
Yeah. Which is, if you do something, you'll notice it will kind of diminish it in certain ways. And for some people, it diminishes it a lot. And it also puts it at risk because you never know what, our feelings are fluid. You never know what you're going to all of a sudden feel towards somebody.
Well, that's my fear. Like I meet this girl with this incredible side pussy and then,
and who could resist?
And then I can never go back to just a regular, down there penis.
Perineal
can't go
pussy.
Back. Yeah. No, but I think
please put this in your next special.
Right. I think I just having a partner that like respects that and would be open to that is so beautiful
but,
to
but
me.
I want to go back to the life outlook stuff because you were educating me there. Right? That was sort of interesting and confusing to me. So it's not just about sexuality. It's about
like how I live my life and how I like relate
like
to other
food
people.
Choices or
hi, I'm sorry. Do you guys have the pansexual menu available?
It literally is confusing. Listen, remember before the mics heated up again, I said, I'm feeling old. And she goes, how? I go, now you're looking at it. Now you're looking down the barrel.
Well, I feel old when it comes to that stuff too, because pansexual was like a new term to me. Mm. And then all this, because I think that if I was given the choice, I feel like a they, them, right? Like whatever that is, like I don't feel fully female. I don't feel fully male, but I'm not about to ask people to go they, them. Like that's, I don't need a different.
Yeah, you can feel they, them and just be whatever.
Right. And so I think that in saying that I'm pansexual, it makes me feel like a they, them more than going like I'm cis.
In a
hetero relation, like to me, that is so like, no offense.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of words.
But it's a lot.
Yeah. But I'm back to your origins. Rocky Horror Picture Show and Brazil. Do these two things go together to create pansexual?
I think they do. You know, carnival, people naked all the time around me. I guess it's just, I just like to be considered like I'm a very open person. And maybe that's the term that I need to be using versus pan. But I'm just like, down.
And by the way, and it's, you know, let's see, it's 2023. So we're about open, I think, covered it for about 4,000 years. So humans just don't really call it open.
We're just open now.
Just open.
Yeah.
But now we got to call it. We have to like categorize it.
Yeah.
Language.
I know. I just want people to meet me and go, okay, yeah, like she's down. You know what I mean? She'll grind on a side puss day or night. She'll do it. And
you know,
if it was on a guy, that would be even more exciting.
A side penis?
Also, do you know about this? I feel like I educate people about this all the time. There's a thing called trib porn, right? And that's what I mean. Trib porn?
No.
Oh my God,
trib porn
is basically scissoring. It's just when two girls, right?
Okay. Why is it called trib porn?
I don't know. I guess because you're tribbing, starting to make a fire. Tribbing? Like,
tribbing?
Look up tribbing and see what you get definition-wise.
It's a word I've never heard, so that's why I'm out.
So I've been exploring a lot
Urban
of this
Dictionary.
Weird porn, right?
Yep, Urban Dictionary.
Oh,
has it.
When two women engage in lesbian
side
sex.
Scissoring, yeah. So it's really strictly... Scissoring. Just scissoring. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm looking at all this weird porn.
Tribidism.
4 days ago, I come across a thing that I have never seen before.
Oh, boy. An open person has...
I can't believe I'm sharing this, but you know what? Maybe other people will relate, okay? I found this thing called jock pussy, okay?
Jock?
Yeah, and it's female to male trans people. Okay,
slow down.
Female to male.
Full, like, surgical male or just, like, high testosterone?
All male, just testosterone, okay? But then they still have a pussy.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And the guy's like, oh, yeah, eat my pussy out, bro. Yeah, yeah. It's like these two bro-y dudes.
One has a penis, one has a pussy.
One has a penis, one has a pussy.
And do they have intercourse?
Yes, and they have sex. Yeah. And it blew my mind.
Yeah.
I was like, how has this been happening? And then the name of it, Jock Pussy, too.
It's called Jock Pussy?
It's called Jock Pussy. And just the guy being like, oh, bro, eat my pussy. That feels
and there
so
must
good.
And there must be a female transgender male version of that, a scissoring version, a tribism.
There, right, where it's a trans woman with a dick still.
Oh, no. How about a trans male woman, male?
Yeah.
A trans male with a female. Her female.
So confused. Wow. Yeah. I feel I'd be into it.
See, to me, it's just confusing. Now, my question to you is it also arousing?
Yeah. I liked it. I was like, wait a minute. There was something about it that it was just like, I think I was telling my boyfriend, because I think it's like the body of a man, which I love, like a dudeish guy. And then I love a vagina. So it's like, it's combining all the things I like in one.
Chocolate and peanut butter.
It's honestly. Yeah. And then if they're just complimenting me the whole time too, that would really be the cherry on top.
Compliment porn.
Yeah. Compliment porn. I'm so proud of you, baby. I'm so proud of you, babe. I know only 33,000 people watch your special, but I'm so
Wow, it's getting deep fast.
Oh, come on, dude. Oh, yeah, sorry.
We actually have a voicemail here that's also about transgender.
Go ahead, because go ahead, give me the voice message.
Hey, Dr. Drew, Kevin here. Question. I've been married for like 2 years now, and I haven't really been as attracted to my wife. I'm still attracted to her, but I'm really attracted to watching transgendered porn, and I think about it while I'm having sex with my wife. I'm not necessarily emotionally attracted to men, so I wouldn't say I'm gay, but how do I increase my attraction to my wife and decrease the attraction to transgendered porn? All right, thanks, retard. Ta-ta.
they're all kinds of funny
greetings. It's very cute, it's very cute. Wow. So
it's there's multiple things triggered in my thinking about it. First, I want to bring up a point, which is that I've noticed that men, when they have openness, they usually have kind of intent in there also. See, with you, it's like, I don't intend to do this. I just have openness.
Yeah.
Men, when they're telling you they have openness, they intend to express the openness. It's just, and that's what this guy's telling us. He's like, I know.
Why you feel men are just more driven with their act when like women can be more open with like their thoughts and like exploring that.
When men are open about sexuality, open, like the way you're describing open, it's about sexuality. therefore it needs to be.
And sex, actually having it. Right. Yeah.
And if it's not going to be experience, it's going to be in the porn. It's going to be something that I'm preoccupied with. And then it's going to bleed into my relationship.
As it is here. He's closing his eyes just thinking about jock pussies.
No, he's going the other way. He's C's with D's. He likes C's with D's. C's. That's what this is. Chicks with dicks.
Chicks with dicks. Okay. I was like,
have you seen that stuff? Maybe you'd like that too.
I love it. I can't get
like
enough
it all.
Of
like it.
It
all.
Yeah.
You
like it all. if it's a mix and match of like gender with weird genitals, I'm into it.
Can you remember when you were first exposed to that kind of imagery?
I remember when I saw Rocky Horror Picture Show. I literally, every person I've dated until this person has looked like Tim Curry. So weird.
But was there something about the vaginas and penises?
No, you know what it was? It was about a really masculine person who was also very feminine.
Uh-huh.
That was the turn on, because I grew up in such a patriarchal masculine society in Brazil, but women kind of drove it, right? Like the sexuality was always in the hands of women. And so seeing that kind of combined into one person was just like the...
It's arousing. And how old were you?
I was like 6 or 7. Ooh. I remember watching it. I was young.
Maybe that was not a good idea.
Yeah. Mom, dad.
Oh boy.
It's your fault.
Because that's what I was
going to
say. These things, then we're going to see more of this because kids are seeing it on their phones now, all kinds of stuff. And we don't know what that does to you. I mean, I'm not saying it does anything bad. We're just saying it does stuff to you.
Right.
But I'll go back to Kevin.
Kevin.
So Kevin, this kind of thing, I'm going to say, is usually porn addiction. It's usually in a male. It's usually that he's been watching a lot of porn and sort of gets burned out on more traditional stuff and starts looking at more and more arousing kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And eventually they get to something like this. And the thing about men and porn is what they watch isn't necessarily a preference of what they want in life. You know, and it's just what's image, just the images that's giving them the arousal. And
right, they're being aroused by that, not touch and smell and physicality.
And pictures are not real life. You know what I mean? It's just they're very happy with other things than what they're watching on the pornography.
Right.
But they're going for more sort of extreme kind of features and things like that.
It's like,
and
I just want to feel something. Yeah.
It's getting the optimum arousal out of them by looking, which is not the whole experience when you're with a human. But when you get into really different kinds of sexuality like this, I mean, there are guys that just like C's with D's. I mean, that's their thing.
Yeah.
And so I don't know what to do with this guy exactly.
I have a suggestion. I'm not a doctor.
Go ahead.
I don't know if you guys knew this. I'm not a doctor.
I'm so afraid of whatever's going to come out of your mouth.
No, no, no. I'd say because sometimes I get into porn and then I feel like not as connected with my partner,
correct,
right? So I almost recommend like having a few sessions where you guys are just like, both naked, sitting cross-legged from each other,
this is exactly
reconnecting
where, yes,
kind
this
of
is
in that way.
Precisely where you would go. Except, I don't know really what's going on with this guy.
Right.
Yeah, and so you would say, if we're in the right zone at all, you'd say cold jerky on the porn, mm-hmm, right? No, mm-hmm, no porn for the time being, and focus on the experience of being in the physical presence and emotional presence of your partner.
Yeah.
And see where that goes.
But even masturbating. Try masturbating, right? Without porn, breathing.
With each other.
With each other,
fine. But he's got to get away from the images for a minute. If he values his, if this isn't the thing he's going to go to, right?
Yeah.
See, this is the weird thing. Men can't just go, oh, I'm just open. I like it. It's just they like.
Yeah, they're like, we have to have it. Yeah, a drive. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I get that. But I think, porn, I mean, makes you feel so disconnected sometimes. You kind of have to almost like not visually, you know, have your own kind of visuals in your head. Like,
it has to be separate in some respect.
Mm-hmm.
Me time.
So don't project it like on the ceiling while you're...
No, you can. As long as it's... Oh, while you're having sex with your partner.
While you're having sex.
See, I mean, that's another way people go, right? Yeah. Is that if he needs that kind of imagery and arousal, well, bring it in with your partner.
Like, yeah, would you ever... Would you ever bring in your lady friend or your wife and go, hey, do you like this?
Into the whole experience. But my fear is that there's a porn addiction here, though. And so that's only going to make his porn addiction worse. Anyway, we don't know. We need more information. Who are we to say...
I actually had a question pertaining to that, because like I feel like a lot of, especially like the younger you are, the earlier you're exposed to porn, and like you're just baseline is kind of like already starting a little higher than it should probably.
Wait.
What?
Nadav wants to say, when I was 8 years old, I saw.
What did you watch when you were too young?
No. I don't even think I started watching porn until I was like in middle school, high school.
You're like, I can't come unless somebody delivers me a pizza.
Well, no. Like, I mean, I've definitely gone through phases where I'm like, oh, this normal missionary stuff isn't cutting it anymore. Let's go to something a little like crazier. But question is there a way to like pump the brakes or reverse that? Is it literally just not watching porn for a while and you'll reset?
Yeah, if you're lucky. See,
if you're lucky.
There's a lot.
Woof.
There's a lot. Some of what we're talking about is early exposure and what that does to our wiring, and that just is what it does. But if it also creates a compulsion to watch and need more and more arousing material, that's an addiction.
But didn't you hear that? He said that even within what he just said. He said, you know, you're doing missionary and then you got to do crazier stuff. It's like, you don't think that when you're having sex and you're like actually in it, right? You're not thinking, oh, how can I make this a better movie?
Right.
Because
you like that with porn, but like with sex, it's just like, oh, okay, yeah, this is just how it goes. But like, you know, I feel like those are kind of two different paths sometimes.
Yes, they absolutely can be. And as long as they, like, that's exactly what I was saying. Mm-hmm. One can be me time, do as you please. But if it starts bleeding into your intimacy, really, we're talking about intimacy disorders ultimately here. It's really what we're talking about.
Wow.
And there's a lot of that.
I was going to say, I feel like most of America has a lot of intimacy. I mean, most people can't even make eye contact. It's wild.
It's not good.
And I'm coming from Brazil, like, hey, you know, where people are like, went to have dinner at my house. I'm like, I just met you at the bus stop, please, you know?
No, right.
And then people were not intimate.
I was in Western Europe a couple weeks ago, and I was noticing a lot of that, and we've now added on top of that a lot of weird negativity and weird conflicts and all kinds of crazy shit that's just getting further between us. And I was talking to Ari about this, Ari Schaefer, and when we were talking about how men and women are like resetting, like the whole relationship landscape is like off. something's not right.
Coming from Ari, I don't know about relationships.
We were just hypothesizing.
No, but it is interesting because I think about that all the time. Like coming from Brazil, a place where they're so far ahead, right? As far as like socializing goes, yes, and sexuality, they're so behind on so many things, obviously.
Like what?
I mean, you saw what just happened. I mean, the corruption is like beyond fixing at this point. Right. You know, it's like, do we get a guy who's a psycho evangelical or somebody who was in jail last time he ran for president?
Right.
We took the jail guy, which I'm happy about. But I would go to Japan, in a place where they're so far ahead as far as technology, industry, all that stuff. And yet sexually, they have to go to a motel, right?
They're repressed. Yeah.
They're so repressed. It's so interesting to see the different places and how sex plays a role in society in that
way.
Nobody
gets it right.
And then in America, it's fucking all over the place. You know, it's so porn driven. It's so unrealistic. And we say that we're really connected and open as far as sex goes, but that's not true. No, there's no education. It's interesting coming from Brazil to, and that's mostly like what I talk about now. Yeah.
Completely agree. And you've been woefully silent. Are you okay there, buddy? You got any opinion about all this?
I'm not the guest, so.
Oh.
You are now.
Yeah, you're cute.
I'm talking to you.
Yeah. Yeah, when did you watch fucked up porn?
he was brought into a strip club at a young age. His dad ran a strip club.
Really? Yeah. He ran one?
Yeah. Or he owned it? Yeah. He owned it?
He ran it poorly, yeah. Did
you brag to your friends?
And I went to a strip club with Annie, and that guy knows how to navigate a strip club.
This every time with this motherfucker, I like put my hand up. This man, put my hand up because I knew the hand signal. So this man wanted to go to a strip club. We're in the strip club.
No. I wanted to bring my wife with us to go and make fun of her.
You were begging us for like a year to take you to a strip club
with my wife, with Susan.
Yeah. Yeah, and so, wait, what's the hand signal? Is there a thing you do?
You ready? So I wanted a stripper to come over to give one of them a lap dance. I think it was your wife. I wanted to give her a lap dance. And so I said, come here. That's the hand signal.
And Drew's like, what is this weird form of waving I've never seen?
Exactly. The same signal you'd use for more bread, please, or can we get some water, or the check.
What a dork, Drew.
Beyond, yes, of course. And he had a big stack of ones. They magically appeared out of nowhere.
He's just walking around going to people now. That's so funny. Wow. And so what do you think? I mean, as far as like, growing up in that kind of environment, how does that show up later in life? Is there,
if he's willing to talk about it, we can tell him.
Are you dating somebody right now?
I'm dating someone right now.
Cool. Like, do you hear him? He's like, I'm dating someone right now.
Crazy.
Right, meow. Would you ever date a stripper?
Probably not. No.
Why?
No, maybe when I was a kid, I would have, like, when I was growing up.
He's looking for a relationship now. He doesn't want something to diminish his intimacy.
I see. And what does your current girl do?
What she do for work?
Yeah, you're like, she's an escort. it's a different thing.
She's a hook. No, she is. She's like, she got a real job.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So I understand. That's cool. So see, he did it.
No, he's great. And he's interesting too. I mean, he has that interesting heritage and stuff. And
anytime he's like somebody splits, he's got like a twitch. No. Do you think there is a way to be exposed to sex really early on and kind of like mature out of that? Or do you think that it kind of makes a mark on you that however it comes out, it makes an impression that is negative?
Not negative.
Okay.
It has an effect. We don't fully understand what the effect is in some sort of predictive way. We don't know medicine, neurology.
We don't know what happens to us when we watch porn young, and we don't know what happens to us when we watch the phone young, so we're all fucking broken.
Well, we worry that when things are so arousing that they exceed our regulatory capacity, in other words, if it makes us astonished or feel anxious or overwhelmed, that's called trauma. Mm-hmm. And so if the images traumatize us, it tends to etch in certain ways that we then react to. Either we pursue it and compulsively repeat it.
Right. To be in control this time, right? It's like, is it kind of like a shock thing?
That's the psychological theory. I think it's just in our brain. We just a wiring that gets do it again. That's how addiction comes from. Or it can be aversive. Like, that's not me. I'm not a female. I don't know. That's what a woman is. That's not me. Or that's what a man is. Here's how you treat women. Good. That's how I'm going to treat them. Whatever it is, it has kind of an effect. Now, I wouldn't call it all negative, right?
It's not right.
But we worry when it's overly arousing.
Wow, that makes so much sense as to why I love talking about sex. because maybe it made such an impact on me that it was like so overwhelming that I didn't, that I felt so out of control, maybe.
Yep. Yep. And so now you repeat.
Right. I repeat it. And I think people go, oh, why is she talking about sex so much? And now that I finally go, hey, and then I did this when I was a kid. And it's like, oh, it makes sense. People can relate now.
What was this?
You know, just like talking about like all the little things that happened when I was young,
like
that what? Were like impressionable.
Like?
Well, the like seeing things show. That yeah. were like, I think just people being very sexual. In Brazil, people are just like naked all the time, you know. My dad was an artist. He had a lot of artist friends that were like.
Having sex in front of you?
No, nobody was having
sex. Okay. Well, they have the kids and all yeah. over the place. And then yeah. people have sex with the kids, which is really what fucks them up.
Yeah, no, yeah. none of that happened. Okay, but my comedy would have been so much better. Yeah. Oh, I wish I had a little, just a little more trauma.
More than a little more.
Right?
All right, let me see if I can finally get to this email here.
Okay, sorry.
My husband and I have been high and tight mommies and blah, blah, blah. Oh my God, these people with their little diatribes.
What are they saying?
Unlike natives Google, I think you, Nadav's Googling skills, what? It's great seeing your podcast progress, unlike Nadav's Googling skills.
Oh, they're just saying that I'm consistently bad at Googling.
Okay, well, dis.
I have a pretty good understanding of what is considered to be outside the body. Okay, so I talk a lot, I've had to talk a lot about the fact that vaginas are technically outside the body and mm-hmm. your mouth and your colon is outside your body. It's not inside. It's a tube that runs through your body, but it's outside the body. Connects with the outside world.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's not sterile.
Wow. Right?
So
hot.
Hot. Yeah. Here we go. Everything's sex for you. Particularly when it comes to colon and ostomas.
Okay, so that's fascinating. Okay. Yeah.
But I recently had a conversation with my husband that sparked some questions. A 25-year-old female. I'm 34 weeks pregnant. With a boy, is it correct to say that he is inside my body? Yes. Is this the first time a penis has been inside of me? Woo! Yes.
Ooh, wow.
Unless somebody like literally stabbed you with a penis, like literally. I know that he is his own person and his own body, but his body was created with the help of my body and is housed in my body as well as, I guess, having both a vagina and a penis during this time makes me a temporary hermaphrodite.
Oh, people have so much time.
Yes, too much time. You know to think what about I mean? Yes.
Yeah, like
I do call my daddy love charity.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it's a special case because he's connected to your body via the placenta, but he's not actually in your body. Even though he's in a body cavity of yours. In other words, he's in a body cavity and he's outside of your body, separated by the placenta. Does that all make sense?
That's wild.
He's in your body in a way that penises normally can't get in your body.
I feel like you're saying this directly to me.
I am. I hope you'll use it in your comedy one day. I don't know how, but I hope so.
I'm like, you know, well, I guess I'll never have a penis inside of me, technically. Because I'm not going to make a boy.
No pregnancies?
No, unless I have a flaming homosexual as a boy, it would be very hard for me to raise a cis boy. I don't know. I just like sport, you know, stuff.
You're going to get this fucking crazy jock.
I know, just like my guy. Because my guy's
without
like,
the vagina, though.
Without the vagina, I know. Oh my God. Actually, I read this really interesting article. I don't know what you think about it, but I read this thing about the correlation of where your clit is placed to your personality. It's this really interesting thing. Have you read about anything?
Interesting.
Yeah, right?
Because something we've talked about on this show and I have noticed before is that women's orgasmic function has something to do with their configuration of where the clitoris is and how their vagina is set up and also the neurological input into that area.
Right.
I mean, women's orgasmic function is all over the place, right? Some women, the moment they start having intercourse, they start having orgasms and they can have 100 orgasms.
Who are they?
I've met that girl.
I can
actually tell when I'm talking to one of those women by certain vocal characteristics and things because all these years on the radio, I got pretty good at that.
Stop.
Yeah.
Stop.
And so maybe there's a.
Stop.
But maybe there's a. It doesn't sound like that.
Okay.
Maybe there's a personality quality that I'm picking up also that goes along with that.
Fascinating. Which makes,
and then there are women that don't have, almost never have. Orgasm with intercourse, they need some kind of direct clitoral stimulation, and then there's sort of a middle ground.
And they just walk around like mad all the time.
They're I'm sure they're
okay.
fine.
Okay, good.
But there the tween shall meet, right? I mean, the fascinating part, the women that have the multiple orgasms somehow believe that the women that can't are somehow haven't figured it out or are lying or something, and then the ones that can only have with hear this all the time from the ones that have just direct stimulation, that the ones that have multiple orgasms are lying. They're not telling the truth.
Wow.
It's just they're
they can't even fathom that because it's not happening to them.
And I could, having talked to a lot of these people over the years, I could see a little personality difference between the groups.
Yeah. There was all these photos that matched to like their pictures of their face, pictures of their vagina.
You have to get me this article.
Yeah, I'll find it.
This is the best thing. This is the funniest thing.
And it was so funny. Yeah, because there's all these women.
You should
do
a whole special on this.
I know. I think so too. I'm so fascinated by like.
This is spectacularly funny.
Right?
Yes.
Like women that you like find that, because sometimes you meet a really shy girl. I forget where I was researching. I was looking for like a bunch of pictures of vaginas to do this art cover thing for something. That's another thing. Like I joke about it a lot, right? But is there ever going to get to a point where we as comics, female comics, can do things with body parts that are funny and not sexualized? Like, will that ever happen?
You have to get rid of males.
You have to get rid of men altogether,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they can't be in your audience.
That's
You
could
do it right now with women. You just can't do it with men.
It's interesting that you say that because women, 18%, that's all that I got on following me. Women like tend to not always flock to women.
Oh, that's for sure true. Women claim that they're supportive of women, one of that.
Why is that? Because I really am. That my whole trauma was not having help from any women when I started in my career. All the top women are just these savage cons. And I was like, come on. And now I'm presenting that opportunity for other women. And it's such a great thing for me because it's almost like healing my own stuff that I had with it.
I've been saying this for decades that women need to walk the walk.
I agree.
And so the most reproducible sort of example of this is if a male chooses to be with a woman that is highly sexual and has been around and stuff, her female friends will go to that male and go, no.
Isn't that interesting?
There's something wrong with her. She's a bitch, whatever. And they will undermine that woman just because she's sexually active.
What is that mentality? Is it from when we were animals and we had to breed?
I guess that's right. You had to compete for male or
right,
something.
Right, like we're all tigers still?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. No, well, all that is in us. It took millions of years to develop. So but just because it's in us doesn't mean we have to respond to it.
Yeah.
But you have to be aware of it and be honest about it to make alternative choices, right? You have to use your prefrontal cortex to go, oh, there's that again. I can do this. But we don't. Because we don't admit what we're actually like as animals.
Yeah.
That's the sad part.
It's true.
And most of this gets set up for some reason right at menarche, like age 12, 13 for women. When they start having their period, that's when they start doing these weird competitive things that somebody should help educate young women about so they don't do that to each other. Because it continues forever.
It does. I mean, that pack mentality of when you're in like a group of girls, you know, and there's always like one gets left out, the whole pack goes with it, right? Like we have these dynamics.
Awful. It's awful. Terrible.
Yeah, it's terrible. And these are supposed to be your friends. And then meanwhile, dudes are always there from each other.
You know where that comes from? That is how in hunter-gatherer societies, how women exerted power, which was through ostracism. Now, so if you've lived in the brush somewhere, and if you were suddenly ostracized, let's say you and your child, from resources that the rest of the pack had access to, you were going to die, and so was your kid. So you'd do anything to be a part of and to comply with, and so that's in us still.
And we still do that.
We do it, not obviously not to that extent, but we need to not do it at all,
right,
is my point. And that's what you're talking about when the competitiveness is
makes it almost impossible for us to do these kind of male-dominated jobs, right? Because we don't have the same camaraderie. Like I was telling you, like I don't have the same rub as these comics are getting, like these other huge dudes going, hey, make sure you check out her, Like there's not really women doing that for other women. It's
Which
very
is
rare.
Really sad.
It's sad.
There should be like a little union of female comedians.
We started one. It's called LOCA.
Seriously?
Yeah. So everybody apply. Yeah.
And you should really have meetings where you literally examine this stuff.
Yeah.
And
we
talk
have
about
a once a month meeting where we talk about like, what do you find hard? And it's like, well, women won't take me on the road. So I don't know what it's like to be a female comic on the road.
So you and one other comedian meet? Is that what's happening?
Yeah. Just me and my mom.
All right. Let's hear another voice message.
Hey, Drew, the Jew and no poo. This is Nick, and I got a question regarding munching box. I know you've said a few times that
we got the right guest for you today.
Throat cancer regarding HPV, mm-hmm. And as a married man that likes slurping on my wife, I was wondering, do I increase my risk every time I eat her out, or is it like one and done?
Yeah.
I've been exposed. I can keep munching. Yeah. So, keep mine tight.
Munching.
Bitch, I'm coming up in May.
This is what goes on in men's heads.
I love the word munch.
This is the stream of consciousness in our brain.
This is a great question, by the way. I've had HPV since I was like 16.
It is a great question.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure I can answer it with great accuracy
because
there is re-exposure to some extent. Mostly it is being infected with it. So re-exposure is not that important a thing. Like your wife's re-exposure, you've already got it. So
right.
Re-exposing to your wife's HPV, I don't think is going to make a big difference. The key for you, I mean, you could maybe diminish the risk with an HPV vaccine, something to talk to your doctor about.
Oh, for men?
Men need to take the HPV vaccine 100%.
Wow.
The incidence of head and neck cancer in males is skyrocketing from HPV.
So,
and penile cancer and anal cancer.
Because that's why I've been scared of it my whole life, right? But I've never really had any symptoms besides a doctor telling me that I had it,
Do
right?
you get the vaccine?
I never got the vaccine. Well, I got it when I was like 15.
You should have the vaccine when you're 9.
But it wasn't around when I was 9. I'm 38, so it really came out when I was like already in my 20s.
I already
had it for so long. It was being sold at Urban Outfitters. It was already vintage. Like literally, and it's so funny because I had a camera guy who I just hired. He's in his 20s, and he didn't know what HPV was.
Jesus. Because he's vaccinated.
So do you recommend now getting a vaccination after all these years?
I think about it. There's questions about whether or not vaccinating will help you fight it off and stuff. There's a lot of questions.
Because cancer's scary. It's a scary thing.
You got to stay on top of that. And there are other versions of HPV you could get exposed to, and being pansexual, who knows? So, but I would get the vaccine.
Wow.
I'm a huge advocate for that vaccine.
Interesting. Yeah. Because like everybody should have it now because
right.
And one out of three or something.
It's so common, but not all of them cause cancer, but the incidence of head and neck cancer, penile cancer and anal cancer in men is just going off the chain right now. And we could prevent most of it with the Gardasil or whatever, those vaccines.
Wow. And there's not a lot of side.
Vaccines are in the news right now, people are arguing that it's one of the safest vaccine. And no vaccine is 100% safe, right? But it's one of the safest vaccine profiles in history. It's fine. I gave it to my kids at 11, whatever. I mean, just do it.
Right. I think it's wise.
But if you do have HPV, you got to stay on top of it. In terms of his risk, the main thing is tobacco and alcohol. If you add tobacco and alcohol to oral HPV, that's how you get the cancer.
Oh my God, babe, go get a HPV vaccine while we're filming this. Imperative.
Smoke and drink?
Yeah, who doesn't?
Well, smoking. You don't. It's
not cigarettes, but
tobacco.
Tobacco. Yeah,
not weed. Tobacco.
Yeah, we smoke spliffs. We're European that way.
Let me give you a bad poop question
here.
Oh,
perfect.
Renee from Dallas. My wife is 26 years older. Good for her. I had her gallbladder removed in 2014. Since then, her shits have been liquid and neon colored. The neon colored is probably because there's lack of bilirubin in there. So it's kind of a white color.
Mm.
She poops 3 to 5 times a day. Okay, so she's having actually dumping. So she needs to talk to a doctor about
this feels like her body's falling apart.
Well, it's not falling apart. It's just that some people, after they get their gallbladder out, input of the enzymes through the papillary duct is not quite what it should be. She's convinced she's dying. She's not dying. Gallbladder removal messed her up. That could be. She could also have a common bile duct stone. She could have a stone in the common bile duct left over. That's the first thing
you
worry
about.
And
that's why it makes, but why would that make your...
Because the gallbladder sort of pushes out bile and enzymes into the duodenum. But if you get rid of the gallbladder, stuff still kind of drips out. It sounds like she's getting almost nothing out. So something might be obstructing it, like another stone.
So that's why she's just getting leakage at this point.
Here's the bile duct.
Trying to understand.
Here's the gallbladder, and here's the duodenum. So this kind of squeezes down and pushes the bile into here. And she had a bunch of stones in there, so she had that taken out. There could be some stones down here.
Oh,
Drew, can you show, hold it up for the camera?
This is a great picture.
It's really.
Everybody. Isn't that a beautiful picture?
I can barely see it.
No, you forget it. Believe me, it's embarrassing enough showing it to
Jade. Hey, that's cool that he's worried and that he can, I think
couples, and it could be other things too. I mean, there's something's going on, so by all means, you should get checked out.
You know, when you can't poop right, really, your whole life gets messed up.
Yeah.
It really affects me.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm just a cranky butt if I don't want
I have something called diverticulitis I get on a regular basis, and it's really miserable.
Yeah, I have a hiatal hernia.
Oh.
Which is really sexy.
When did you become an old Jew?
That's what everybody says, and yet I can't talk about it. Everybody thinks I'm a Jew.
So hiatal hernia, but that's easily manageable.
But it's manageable, but I can't eat anything. It's very difficult to deal. It's been really difficult dealing with it for me. Mm-hmm. I almost always have acid reflux.
Why don't you take something regularly?
I take Prilosec regularly, but sometimes I feel like it hurts my bones.
Doesn't do that, but I'm not a Prilosec fan for chronic use.
Tell me why.
A young person.
Well, I don't do it. I'll take time off. Like when I flare up, I get back on the 2 weeks.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
But maybe you should take Pepcid the rest of the time.
Interesting.
So because those the Pepcids and things are really benign, really very easy.
That's what people, yeah. But yeah, it really bothers me. And if it'll just flare up randomly too. You know, even if I'm doing the diet and exercise and all the good stuff.
You're Jewish, right?
I'm deep down.
It'll help with your comedy career. Know,
right? I've been trying. I try to convert during the pandemic.
During COVID?
During the
that
break.
That would have been a good use of your time.
I went twice. He said no twice. You know, you're supposed to go three times.
Correct.
He wouldn't let me even go in the third time.
Oh, but they can't turn you away the third time. That's why he didn't want you.
Well, he didn't want me. And then I'm so Jewy and then I was like, fuck this. I don't want this.
I don't want you anyway.
I don't want part of this.
Passive aggressive. Perfect. Yeah. God, you're perfect. You passed.
I tried. I even found this like lesbian rabbi who was willing to take me in and then it didn't work out.
Even the lesbian rabbi said no three times?
No, she said no once and then I just was like, sick again. Nose. Why?
Was she? Because you got to prove that you really want it. That's
maybe
why they
she's
turn
overwhelmed
you
by all the pansexual stuff and little.
I did not mention that in my email. Hi, I'm a pansexual woman looking to actually be Jewish so I can book more. She didn't like that. No, I really wanted to because I actually really always have felt really connected to like the morals of Judaism and really always wanted to raise my kids in kind of a.
You're not
going to
have kids.
Well, I know I don't want to have a boy who's. I don't want to have a heterosexual
not a Jew.
Boy.
So how do
I actually would like to have kids still. I know it's later in my
you packed life. A lot into that statement as it pertains to Jews and masculinity, but okay.
No. I would love to have a Jewish gay boy. That's the dream. That's really the dream. Can a girl hope?
I guess you can.
And dream. Okay.
Okay. Oh.
What's the next gross thing we'll talk about?
Penile trauma caused uncontrollable bleeding. I'm uncircumcised, never had issues. 6 months ago, I peed, then tugged on my foreskin while cleaning up. Men have to do these things.
Yeah. Just a little tug.
Felt
to get the
a funny sensation like a knuckle cracking. It wasn't painful, so I ignored it. After a few seconds, I looked down, and there was a horrific amount of blood all over the bathroom. Even worse, it's pouring out of my dick. I thought I was pissing straight blood for a second, but I actually had torn the frenulum. Okay. I applied pressure until it stopped. Luckily, it hasn't torn or bled again since. Also, no discharge, blah, blah, blah. Is it normal for the foreskin and frenulum to continue to feel sensitive and sore when pulled after 6 months?
What's a frenulum?
Frenulum, it's the under your tongue where the tongue is tacked down.
Uh-huh.
The foreskin has one of those on the underside
of
the penis.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like there's like a little.
Yeah, a little
sort
connection.
Of like a little connection there, yeah.
And that, if you've been uncircumcised, they'll put frenulum of the foreskin, of the prepuce.
Well, you know what tongue.
There
know,
it is.
Yeah.
There
my
is.
Friend had one that we went to the tip of her tongue and it made like a little heart. Her tongue was like a little heart.
Wow.
Yeah.
So did she ever get it released?
She did because I made so much fun of her. I really scarred her.
There's one right there. Wait. Go back. Go back if you don't mind. Because there was the heart tongue right there down the second row in the middle. See it? Right there. Isn't that like your friend?
Yeah. It was like, but yeah, I would like make a little heart. Yeah, that's so interesting.
There it is. You can go back to the penis now. Thank
and
you.
And that's an easy surgery. Just a little snip, right?
Yeah.
Go back to the penis pics, please. Wait, so he pulled it. He just, and then just blood everywhere. That's how easy you can.
There it is. That's in a circumcised
penis.
Oh,
I thought you were talking about on the bottom. Okay,
that's on the bottom. That's on the bottom. That's the underside.
No, but I thought you meant like where the balls connect, you know, the ball. Because there is a little kind of line there too.
Yeah, that's not. This is really at the foreskin. Let's see one with the foreskin.
I like that one dick is like bowing down. Like the head
goes
down.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
That needs to be repaired.
Wow, well, the photos that we're getting. I'm so interested. You are bad at Googling. They were right.
It's true.
Oh, cool. Well, you know what? I could see why the Jews turned you away.
How dare you?
All right. We're not going to get it. It's all right. But
I understand. It's like that little line. And he fractured that.
He tore it. Which is
a
common thing. It usually happens like during intercourse, things like that. It bleeds a lot when that happens. It's almost like scalp bleeding. And the problem is he's talking about it being still sensitive. It takes a long time to heal, and it often scars, and it often causes narrowing of the foreskin. So it's, you know, it's can be an indication for a circumcision.
Wow. Yeah. So
look,
he's got
to show her phimosis. I know we go to phimosis all the time.
But I find this fascinating because nobody ever talks about the different little parts of your genitals, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There it is. See how it can narrow and you can't get the penis out at the tip, right?
Oh, I've seen that.
Yeah, so they have to circumcise.
Ooh, that's bad.
You've seen that?
Yeah, I've seen pictures of it, like where it's like a little turtly.
Yeah, yeah, but they can't get it out because it tears again if they pull it through.
Look how bad that, oh, that looks bad. Yeah, also, then they have to rip the skin from the side?
So if you, let's say it starts to narrow down.
Yeah.
And then you force it out. First of all, it hurts because it's constricting the penis, and then it tears again, and then it narrows more.
And men don't have any sensitivity. They're like, come on, come on. And then it just tears it again.
You're not truly pansexual because this disturbs you. This should be something you're just open to.
No. This disturbs me. You know why? Because it's just the feeling of the sensitivity on you. Yes. Like anything with like
the penis.
The penis and hurting and like I just don't want any of it.
We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
So it's one of the reasons people get circumcision.
So he should get it checked out.
Well, he's got to give it. He's healed. It's a little sensitive. If it tears again, you're gonna have to do something about it.
You're having sex with a guy, and then you just start squirting blood out of his dick.
Well, that's what that's
Carrie
what,
style.
That's what happens. People are like,
Yeah. Like, yeah, who stays in it? Like, don't worry about it. Well, I accept you. Oh, you're so open. No.
Men will wear the.
I'm not even into squirters because I'm too OCD for the cleanup. You know.
Here's another circumcised penis question.
Okay.
I have two pee streams. I know I don't have two urethras, but I have a tiny little extra pee hole beneath my urethra. When I pee, I have a normal stream out of my urethra, but a second hole is more than a mist, less not so much a stream. Due to this, I sit down when I pee. My wife suggested I get the holes cut together, but I'm not cutting my dick head. Any idea what caused it? Yes, this
when
is the we talk
one.
About these all
Chlamydia.
The time. No. I've made you pull these up all the time, and now I'm blanking on the name of it. God damn it.
So this
jet
is one.
Jet lag is a horrible thing with an elderly brain.
It really, jet lag is so intense.
Oh my God. It's so, hypospadias. Thank you.
I'm seeing Dr. Nadav's in the house.
So give us the picture of the hypospadias.
Hypospadias.
Yeah. So
two dick holes.
Yeah. Right. Show her the pictures.
Those are cute little pictures. Oh, it's on the where the ball is?
It can be anywhere along there. See how there's three different openings there? The one he's talking about is on the far right by the urethra. Like the give her a real picture.
On the tip, yeah.
Towards
these
the tip.
Are little drawings.
Give some other ones.
These are like little kid drawings.
Go ahead, switch off.
Go down.
All right. Just can't show actual
dicks. That's a better that's actual real penises. You can see the one on the right. See how there's a hole just below the head there? Mm.
Oh, interesting. Like through the skin.
Yeah, it's a second. It's
like a
hole.
Second hole. Yeah. Wow.
And they can, there it is. That's it. And it can, that's sort of the more common place for it, but it can occur anywhere along the shaft, even up towards the ball.
It's like a flute.
It's like a recorder. Like a recorder.
Yeah,
it's
all it's like a little. Wow.
I love how your mind works. No wonder you were traumatized at a young age.
What do you mean?
Who knows what you did with the Rocky
Horror
Picture
Show? What are you talking
about?
You don't ever get blowjobs where it's like she eats it like a corn? Like,
But I hope she's not thinking about flutes necessarily.
Plays a recorder.
Oh, my. Recorders are played like this, forward, right?
No, that's Drew, that's not true.
That's a flute. The recorder, that's why the dick with the phimosis with the hypospadias looks like a recorder. Anyway.
I need this clip sent to me right now.
This is going to be on Sirius XM radio. That's
exciting.
We got some more fun voicemails too.
So really quickly, what do you recommend to this guy that he do with his multiple holes?
He can get it repaired as his wife is telling him, but he doesn't want it and it's fine. He's going to sit down and pee. That's it.
It's pretty great.
Let's do it.
Hey, Dr. Hitler. My name is Mark, and sometimes when I'm cleaning my asshole in the shower, I'll find a very long hair, and when I pull on it, it comes from inside of my asshole.
Yep.
It feels strange, so I know it's coming from inside.
Mm.
But it's my girlfriend's hair. It's not mine. How is it getting there? Am I eating it and then pooping it out?
Wow.
Or is my asshole eating it and, like, munching throughout the day, and then I just have to pull it out eventually? What's the deal? Am I going to end up with a hairball killing me by my intestines exploding? Or I don't know. Let me know. Talk out there, retard.
Well, the asshole's not eating the hair. I promise you that part.
He's asleep. His asshole's eating.
It is possible you're eating her hair, but that sounds bizarre that you would not know it.
I find hair sometimes tucked in there when I'm showering that's like kind of feels in. I mean, it's not in, but a little.
Maybe it got sucked in.
Like it'll fall down this way, down your crack, and then slide into the butthole.
Okay. Well, there you go. Listen to Jade. Listen to Jade.
I'm just kidding. And stop eating hair.
And men can have hairs that, you know, we can have hairs that sort of grow uncontrollably almost anywhere in our body. And the anus has some potential for hair inside. So maybe it's his hair. But then he would be aware he was pulling it out.
He's pulling it on his own.
Yeah.
You know, I finally met Andy from Bravo. I was about to do, like, Watch What Happens Live. I was so excited. And right before we go on, we're talking. And I go, oh, you have a little something right here. And I go to take it and it's attached to his face.
Uh-oh.
And I tug on it. And it was just such a moment of like, I'm sorry. He's like, yeah, I got it. And he left. Why do we have such a thing with hair? Where does that, you know what I mean?
Because
why is hair embarrassing to us?
Yeah. It's not just embarrassing. It's disgusting.
Why? Right?
Because hair is dirty and hair is where, you know, our smells get hung up. And that's why we have hair in these various parts of our body still after all these evolutionary, you know.
Well, not me. I'm fully lasered. I've invested.
But you had them at one time. You were
at one time. I was, yes.
But you're like a newborn now.
Well, not. I still have stuff on top. Like I'm not.
You're not weird.
I'm not weird.
So how was Watch What Happens Live?
It was the whole time.
Did he just kick you out after that?
He's like, okay, thank you. And somebody escorted me out into the parking lot. No, I kept thinking about it the whole time. I was like horrified.
I would appreciate it if I had some rogue
hair.
That's what
I said. That's what I thought. But it was such a moment. And I don't know if you went and got it, but I just, the whole time I'm thinking like, why did you tug on his one tiny hair on his face?
Andy's a very nice guy.
He's a sweetheart. Yeah. But then the soup got canceled like 3 weeks later. I was like, that's why. Because I tugged on that little hair on his face.
That's it. That did it.
That did it. You would have been so proud of my soup billboard. Ugh. So my crotch was so large.
Your crotch?
Yeah, I just wore these really high-waisted pants. And I would just stare at a...
Tell me more about that experience. What was going on?
It was actually like an incredible experience, but it was kind of traumatic because it ended so abruptly.
It was television.
After such a wind-up.
Yes.
It was COVID, too. The timing was just like comedic.
Did Andy produce it?
No, he didn't. But Bravo and E! Had kind of become like one network at that time. And so they were like helping me with cross promotion and all that stuff. And I'm obsessed with reality stuff.
I used to do it with Joel McKay all the time. And I actually did it with John Henson. That's how far
back
I went.
That's my favorite host.
John?
John was my favorite host. He's amazing.
Do you remember the stage manager that would come in?
Tom.
Tom became a dear friend of mine.
Yeah, I loved, I begged to have Tom on the show, begged.
Because he still runs the stage over at E!
He still does, yeah, he still does. Well, they're done now because he did Daily Pop or Nightly Pop or whatever.
And that stopped.
But he was on my test when I did like the whole test and he's laughing at all my jokes.
He's the best guy ever.
I cried right after because it was such a moment.
I was a big fan of all those incarnations of that show too.
Yeah, and I really wish I got to make it my own, and I think that was the trauma part where it was like I thought I was going to get to really make it my own and I didn't.
Maybe they'll come back around again. No?
No, it's dead. It was a meteor burning down and I caught it on its way
God
to destruction.
Damn it.
And I think people intake information differently. Like, right? The clip shows like don't do as well as they used to. Remember we used to have all those talking shows. And so I think people just get their news in different ways now. And they're like,
yeah, the soup was originally about talk shows.
Yeah. Talk soup.
Yeah, it was talk soup.
And people still say talk soup. I was like, mine was a different one.
I don't know. I feel like it's time for something like that. Maybe it's pulling stuff off YouTube. And like this is the same kind of stuff.
I think people are more into podcasts now and like personalities that they already know talking about the stuff rather than like writers writing jokes. But like they like more of a fluid.
100%.
And that's what I wanted it to be. I wanted it to be this really raw thing.
That's such a great idea. I feel like it still has value.
Hey, my dream is to host late night, be the first female to host late night. So I think that's every
but
comic.
But late night is sort of done. I'd be better if you did this.
I would like to do a kind of late night that's a little more raunchy, a little more blue.
Yeah,
you know?
No, you could do it at late night, but I'm just saying not like a traditional late
night. No, it would never be a traditional, more of a variety show.
Let me tell you a television story that's little told, me and Adam's story, where we were originally Loveline when it was a television show. was originally produced and distributed through something called New Line Entertainment that was run by Brandon Tartikoff.
How did I get to it, I wonder, even?
Well, hold on.
Okay, I was like...
And so we were a Fox late night show, had cleared 95% of the country. Adam and I were going around the country promoting it. We had filmed 7 episodes for Fox, and all of a sudden... Fox bought New World Entertainment and canceled all new programming. So we had, here was this show in production, fully cleared all over the country.
Already promoted, by the way, for a year.
We were out there promoting for months. Sorry, it's over.
But I saw something. Was it online?
It got picked up by MTV, and it was on MTV for 5 years.
Okay, I was like, where did I see this? I feel like I saw it regularly.
We were on MTV for years. But that happened only because of this weird... and I have another... This is the TV show. So off of the heels of Loveline, I had a daytime show. Again, we'd already filmed the first episode. I was going around the country talking to affiliates, and I was literally driving on the Pasadena Freeway, and one of my reps called me, and he goes, hey, the show... hey, well, they're going with Queen Latifah. And I was like, what? What do you mean going with Queen Latifah? And they go, yeah, it's her show now. And I was like, what?
Can they do that? I guess they can.
TV.
See, people don't know. Like, you can book something. It doesn't matter. You still have to go through 25 steps before it gets on air.
It can, as he pointed out to me, he goes, you can celebrate when you're cashing checks on the third season.
Never gotten there.
It can stop anywhere along the way. At any point, it just goes away.
What has been the most beautiful experience for you, like where you feel the most self-realized, like as far as work goes?
I enjoy trying to do, well, I had the most fun with that Loveline TV show, but the most challenging, interesting, extraordinary experience was Celebrity Rehab.
That's so interesting. Yeah, I loved it.
Because that was, we really had a goal, which was to open what this is up to people at a time when people were, A, making fun of celebrities who were really sick and needed help, and people didn't understand what addiction was or what treatment was. And it was actually Bob Forrest, the guy with the hat and the glasses, that really convinced me that we had to do this. Because I was like, well, come on.
Is it a dead idea? Isn't there a version of like influencer rehab? Like where we see these people that are like online.
Yeah, it takes a lot longer to treat narcissism than to treat drug addiction.
Is there a house
drug
big
addiction,
enough?
Drug addiction has some moments of clarity.
No, but
and
there's something
direction.
About like the addiction of online, right?
Oh, yeah.
Of being like, well, I'm completely addicted to my phone.
Right. So,
you know?
So process addiction, technology addiction, that kind of thing. We kind of did that. I don't know if you saw the show. We did a sex addiction show.
No.
We did one. You should watch
need
this.
To watch it. Okay.
We did one just treating sex addicts.
Yeah.
And it included.
They all slept on one big bed. Like,
no. We couldn't do anything like that. In fact, quite the opposite. And it was actually, I had sort of limited experience in that area. We brought some experts in with me to help me treat them. I learned a ton and I got very good at treating sex addiction as a result.
That's so fascinating.
Yeah, it was a great experience. And it was, you know, I'm still very attached to a lot of those patients. Some of them we treated for years and years, most of which kind of gone on. And some of them have become friends. I've let them, because you can't be their doctor and their friend. I can be their doctor and I can be a resource and be available to them, or we can end that relationship and I can be your friend.
I have a new therapist. So, I'm trying to text him all the time. He's like, no. I mean, he's there for me. You know, I love it.
So part of the deal is going to be structuring and containing
boundaries. That's a new thing I'm learning.
Right. So some of this PAN stuff. While great that you can do that, but you also have to be able to have structure
the boundaries.
Around things. Yeah.
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 So no side, no sound pussies for now.
Sound pussies?
Side.
Side pussy. Yeah. If you were having side pussy, you'd have to.
I'm going to find the sign pussy video. You're going to die. It's so
funny.
I
want to see the article, but you have to send me the article.
Oh, yeah. I will find it. I'll find it.
The vaginal structures. Let's do at least one video. We have not done a video with Jade. I'd like to do something.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Something that you think would be, what's down the list?
Yeah. Here, let me find a fun one. Yeah, let's do a couple TikToks.
All right. Here we go.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
No.
Uh-oh. Is he going to miss the pool?
Oh, God. Is he going to go hit these people?
It just kind of ends there.
Oh. What?
Oh, my God.
What kind of anticlimactic shit is this? It's
a giant guy sliding down a pool slide that looks like he's going to literally overshoot the pool.
I don't love seeing people get hurt.
No, I don't either.
I don't love it. That's not my type of
you
video.
You hate your mom's house then.
Yeah.
So you know what? Let me go back a couple folders so I can find some of those for you.
Oh, geez. Let us see Tom get hurt if we want to laugh at somebody getting hurt.
I've been trying to think about like on stage often, I've been like having this little like, oh, I just want to flash him because I have this like, right? They get to be fully free. Bert gets to be shirtless.
Oh.
Is there a world where like a comic does it?
And Brazil.
In Brazil.
In Brazil. Otherwise, boundaries, young lady. Propriety.
The improv wouldn't be happy. They wouldn't. They'd be like, what?
I mean, I guess you could do it. I mean, it happened on Mrs. Maisel and it went well for her.
I really wanted that part and I ultimately think they didn't give it to me because I don't have a rack. That's what I like to think. Not because of my shitty acting.
You could have been one of the writers.
No, I tried so hard. I wanted to be a part of that show so badly.
So you knew before that it was going to be good.
Oh,
you
I knew. Tell. Oh, yeah. There's never things about female comics. Yeah. I mean, it's like even when they did I'm Dying Up Here.
Yes.
It was an incredible book if you guys haven't read that. When they did it, they hired all male comics for the parts. Not a single female comic worked on that show. They hired actresses to play the female comics, which I thought was a little
It's true.
Shitty.
A lot of the male actors were also actual comedians.
Yeah, Eric Griffin, Andrew Santino. And then when Hacks came out, I was just furious. I think it's the best. No, I think it's one of the best.
Is she a comedian?
Hannah is a comedian, the young girl. Yeah.
So you would have been great in that part too.
I feel like she's a little more like pedantic than I am, like a little more, you know,
flat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I've never seen a show that's like a more accurate portrayal of what it's like to be a female comic. Mm. It's really, really well done. And if I'm not in season three, I'm starting to hate it.
So if you could just direct your attention to the screen right now.
Uh-oh. Now I'm scared. You said that in such a, looking at an intersection.
The guy flies out of the car.
And gets right up. No problem.
Yeah,
what happened?
He's fine.
He gets up and just starts doing like the Superman. He's like,
like a cartoon. Shakes his head. What was that?
And I'm home like, where's my delivery? Wait, what? Can we see it again?
Absolutely.
So this guy's in this white truck. Yeah, me too.
Van. And then boom.
Boom.
And he's thrown out of the truck.
He seems fine.
Into the curb. He like lands on the curb.
He seems
like,
completely
he
good,
does,
right?
Yeah, which is, I'm always happy to see that. Because oftentimes Nadav leaves me with these videos, not sure what happened to these people.
Yeah, you gotta know,
this guy's okay.
And sometimes it's obvious that things did not go well.
Well, here, let me show you one where I know the outcome of it.
Oh, no.
My mom was in a car accident like that. She got thrown out of the vehicle, had to relearn how to walk, talk, everything.
I would say people rarely survive.
Yeah.
Oh, this is terrible. Jesus Christ.
Oh, God, I'm already.
Oh, my God. These bother me a lot.
That thing's going to close on his head, right? Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh,
no. We can still hear it.
Oh.
Is he dead?
Fun fact, he's not okay.
He's dead.
A little bit.
Of course.
Oh, no. Yeah. It's like that documentary about the fastest woman in the world. Have you seen this?
No, and?
I don't want to ruin it, but she explodes in the car. It just explodes. Like, you're watching this documentary. They're getting really close. They made this vehicle that, like, breaks the speed of
The car breaks apart.
The car just explodes.
Yeah.
But she makes it. She beats the speed, which is, I think, like 500.
So on this, I did a reality show where I go to the Wadi Rum Desert in Jordan with 15 other, I'll show you some footage of it in a minute. And some of the things they do there is they blow us up a couple times, amongst other things. I'll show you.
Oh, that's
so
really
fun.
So
that'll be, to keep an eye on that on
when
Fox,
is that?
Everybody.
Is it Fastest Woman on Earth?
Yes. You have to watch this. So this girl, this woman,
the
car. They make this like, they make this crazy vehicle that goes like, breaks the speed of light. And
when you're not on stage and not watching television or online with your phone, do you have time to do anything else?
Yeah, I Zumba too. I'm really into Zumba.
Zumba, okay.
Yeah. So I'm really into working out.
That's good.
Love a hike.
Okay, good.
So love music.
I want to make sure you're not just.
No, I do have a problem with my phone. I need to get off. You know what it is? I hate letting people down. And now that the videos people are like really watching, I always feel like this need to like, entertained.
This show that you would do, you could take all these videos.
I mean, you take it on executive producer and it might have a chance.
Let's go do it.
I'm
serious.
People would watch.
I just some things I kind of know, and this is one of the things I just know would work.
I love that.
Plus you're of your time. You know what I mean? So, all right.
You heard it.
So in the meantime, go watch Hotties on Hulu and go to Jade Cotta Prieta, as they almost say in
I like that.
It's CATTAPRETA.com. Get it all there. Jade, it's a pleasure.
It's such a pleasure. Thank you so much.
And we'll see everybody next time.
Bye.
All conversations and information exchanged during participation in the Dr. Drew After Dark podcast or interaction on the DrDrew.com website is intended for educational and entertainment purposes only. Do not confuse this with treatment or physician medical advice or direction per se. You must always follow your medical professional's advice and direction. Nothing on these podcasts or posted on this site supplements or supersedes the relationship and direction of your medical caretakers. Please understand, I am not playing the role of physician in this environment per se. I'm educating. I am a licensed physician with specialty boards in American Board of Internal Medicine and American Board of Addiction Medicine.